Welcome to Two Open Doors, the podcast that explores our power to open or close the doors of relationship with the important people in our lives. We hope you'll learn from and share your wisdom with our community. Thanks for joining us. In tantric cosmology, the universe is created and filled by two inseparable deities, Shiva and Shakti. Shiva is seen as the embodiment of masculinity, while Shakti embodies the feminine. Shiva manifests a state of being in existence, which focuses on the static aspect of existing. In contrast, Shakti manifests the flow of energy that animates everything in existence. That role is fundamentally dynamic. Contemporary people who have a tantric perspective on life find Shiva and Shakti very relevant to their daily lives. In this episode, we'll consider how the spirit of the god and goddess play out in our life. From my perspective, I don't see a need to embrace the concept of gods or divine creatures who exist outside of our physical reality as active agents in physical reality. I see spirit, or the non-physical part of a person that embodies emotions and character, as arising from our physical nature, though spirit has a reality that is separate from our purely physical state. Given these beliefs, I can't see Shiva and Shakti as actual gods that exist outside physical reality. Instead, I believe that the concepts of Shiva and Shakti are useful metaphors that express how we humans inhabit the world. We can envision Shiva as the totality of our existence, including our body, mind, emotions, and spirit. Similarly, we can envision Shakti as our individual active agency in the world, the many ways in which we interact with others and with the world around us. Shiva embodies our being, while Shakti embodies our doing. Thus, each of us is indeed a host to a god and a goddess within us in the preceding senses. The concept of Shakti is dynamic. She exists as a flow of energy through us. Such energy is different from the notion of physical energy, which refers to a capacity for doing physical work. Instead, spiritual energy is thought by some to be non-physical, and thus unmeasurable and unobservable, as is exemplified in the ancient idea of chi as a life force. I'm not given to esoteric beliefs, but I do know that much of what happens in the realm of human relationships lies outside the domain of the purely physical. For me, spiritual energy is my shorthand for the subtle drivers of the emotional responses that occur during personal interactions. It's the way in which a person presents themselves to others and interacts with others. Through an exchange of this energy, people affect one another. It is possible to see and otherwise experience the results of those energetic exchanges between individuals. As an editorial note, I would really like to see a word other than the physics-based term energy used to refer to the subtle human interactions that I've just described. Unfortunately, such an alternative term doesn't seem to exist. The resulting ambiguity leads to much confusion and controversy, especially between physically-based materialists and those who hold esoteric beliefs about life and reality. The best I can do is to underscore my particular usage of the term energy for my readers and listeners. To return to the theme of this episode, every person can be described by who and what they are, taken together with what they do in their life. We can think of that combination as the ways in which Shiva and Shakti, respectively, appear in their life. It's important to note that these are inseparable from one another. One can't act without being, though one could conceivably be without acting, boring and uninteresting though such an existence would be. In Western societies, we have a range of understandings regarding what it means to be masculine versus feminine. Both of those notions are socially constructed, though they may have some biologically determined underpinnings. Specific roles, behaviors, and ways of presenting are associated with each of those terms. Masculine and feminine traits entail far more than the biological determinants of sex. I'd like to focus on the sorts of energy, in my sense of personal presentation and interaction, that are commonly associated with being masculine or feminine in Western societies. While, of course, individual perspectives differ, the following generalizations are likely to resonate with most listeners or readers. Masculine traits include directness, goal and action-oriented, rational and structured thinking, protectiveness of self and valued others, strong, assertive, and determined, and weak focus on, understanding of, and expression of emotions. Feminine traits include social grace and subtlety, responsive rather than initiating, intuitive and creative, receptive and open to vulnerability, desire and capacity for nurturing and empathy, and emotional attunement and prominence in thinking and behavior. All too often, the portraits that we've just painted for masculinity and femininity are viewed as opposites of one another. Such a stance is arguably wrong and unhelpful for several reasons. First, those portrayals are so general as to be almost caricatures. Like every human trait, each of the ones we've just listed lie on a spectrum, and each person shows all of those traits to differing degrees. Second, and related to the preceding observation, every person represents a blend of both stereotypically masculine and feminine traits. It's only toxic masculinity that denies the importance of supposedly feminine traits, such as empathy and nurturing. Similarly, it's only a warped version of femininity that denies the importance of appropriate action and assertiveness, or of the role of rationality in decision-making. And third, all of the traits listed under both feminine and masculine categories have a place on the complete palette of human orientations and behaviors that allow us to respond flexibly to life's challenges. Neither category is better or worse than the other. Different circumstances call for different stances and actions. I believe that every person faces the challenge of developing as many of these traits as possible in themselves. Some traits may be innately stronger or better developed than others, but honing the other traits reduces the risk of having an overly narrow and impoverished set of ways in which we can engage with life. Breadth increases flexibility. It also builds our appreciation for the traits that are strongest in others, such as in a masculine appreciation for the feminine, and vice versa. We've just considered an argument in favor of developing both the masculine and the feminine in ourselves. That's an argument in favor of developing and owning who we are as holistically and completely as possible. It equally promotes developing our capacity for effective action, so that we can more fully participate in the world rather than just existing. In giving a place to both the masculine and the feminine energies in us, we become a living embodiment of the ancient dual but complementary philosophical principles of yin and yang, in which yin represents the feminine energy and yang the masculine energy. Together, those principles are believed to guide the course of all people and things. It's interesting to observe that in the tantric tradition, the feminine energy of Shakti is seen as active and action-oriented, while the masculine energy of Shiva is viewed as passive and focused on just deeply being. In contrast, in Chinese tradition, the feminine energy of yin is seen as passive, asleep, weak, and quiet, that is, focused more on being than on doing, while the masculine energy of yang is viewed as active, awake, strong, and loud. The assignments of traits to masculine and feminine are reversed. Our Western philosophical tradition seems to be better aligned with the Chinese perspective than with the tantric viewpoint. That somewhat humorously underscores the relative arbitrariness of what gets associated with masculinity versus femininity. Culture is clearly a hugely important factor in shaping a culture's worldview. Perhaps we're all blind men feeling different parts of the same elephant. The safest bet seems to be to embrace both the feminine and the masculine in us as fully as we can. We need to give both the god and the goddess their rightful places. To learn more about Two Open Doors and to engage with our community, I'd like to invite you to visit the Two Open Doors private Facebook group for posts and discussion, and the Two Open Doors meetup group for events. I also invite you to contact me directly by writing to me at Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, at twoopendoors.com. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll use your inputs to guide my work on future blog posts and podcast episodes. Thanks for visiting Two Open Doors.